Let's kick things off chatting with travel expert Onanta Forbes, who joins us each week to discuss some of the travel news and travel trends. You can follow her adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Onanta Forbes. OnantaForbes.com is her website. And Onanta is currently sailing into the port of Ketchikan on board Cunard's Queen Elizabeth. How are things going, Onanta?
We're going to be docking in about an hour and a half. So right now we're just enjoying some great scenery as we cruise into the port.
Tell us about the ship. Let's start there. I know last time we chatted, you were just getting on board, so didn't really get a feel for the ship. Tell us what it's like now.
Yeah, so it's a wonderful ship. It's the wonderful opportunity to explore the Queen Elizabeth as a ship, as a destination, as well as the ports as a destination. So it's a medium-sized ship for almost 2,100 passengers and has a lovely mix of glamorous Art Deco-style interiors in the bars, lounges, and public spaces, but a relaxed ambiance at all times, despite the smart dress code after 6 p.m. So most days, guests are eager to get off the ship and explore the ports in Alaska. There is a slight expedition cruise feel to the ship because the Queen Elizabeth is only one of four ships with a permit to sail into the UNESCO listed Glacier Bay, thanks to its green credentials. At night, most of the people will get dressed up for dinner and enjoy the entertainment, which ranges from like string trios and harpists to folk music and pop comedy and West End style shows. Sea Days, which we've had at the end of the cruise, you're going to have two, are a great chance to sleep in, join a dance class, use the gym, or stretch out beside one of the two open deck pools before getting ready for a black tie gala night dinner.
So I always like getting dressed up. I know a lot of people don't like getting dressed up, but I do. I always thought the formal nights and getting dressed up were one of the great things about being on a cruise. So talk about just the ship itself, some of the amenities offered, what your stateroom is like.
The ship's interior is from its grand lobby has a sweeping staircase and has two deck-high panels from the original Queen Elizabeth ship to its chandelier ballroom. It has a deck-top croquet court, and it makes sailing on the Queen Elizabeth a very special experience. So for dining, as you can expect from a traditional cruise line, Queen Elizabeth has one glorious main dining room, a large self-service buffet, both open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, with just a few alternatives for casual dining. So there's also dedicated dining for suite guests and one fabulous specialty restaurant for splashing out on special occasions. At lunch, you can either get like a burger and fries at the Lido deck on the back, or the Lido grill on the back deck. Or you can get a casual bite to eat and get fish and chips at the Golden Lion Pub on deck 2. Or go to the Cafe Corinthia, where you can buy drinks, especially tea and coffee. So paid for specialty dining is available at Bamboo at the Lido, which is open for dinner and serves destination-focused food, while the steakhouse at the Veranda has a very lovely ambiance and everything you would expect of a classy steak and lobster restaurant. So we've been to both, and both really do enjoy amazing food there. In the steakhouse, we had a trio of different steaks that were very good, well prepared. There's also an afternoon tea every day in the Queen's Room from 3 to 4, and it's accompanied by classic musicians. And if you don't get there early, you do have to queue.
So no shortage of food, that is for sure. One of the great things about taking a cruise is the entertainment. What kind of entertainment do they have on board?
So there are there's daytime classes and lectures all over the evening. before the evening entertainment begins, usually about 5 o'clock, with a little light music in the bars for those early diners who want a pre-dinner drink. Yeah, if this is too early, you won't miss out, though, as the musician performs several sets throughout the night. Deck 10, there's the Commodore Club with its wraparound windows for looking out to sea, and it's a popular pre-dinner meeting place and perfect piano bar or lounge. And there's dining or dancing in the Queen's Room, which has a sprung dance floor. And this can range from recorded ballroom and Latin music to the hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So, you know, during the day, it's amazing. You'll see people just practicing their ballroom dancing on their own. There is dance classes, which is like, it's really well attended. So that's a fun thing to do. And in the Golden Lion Pub, it has acoustic sets in the evening. So anything from folk to pop. And the Royal Court Theater has a show every evening. And it features like West End names who sing and share stories about their stage careers, comedians, American and British, and old-style song and dance reviews, and at least one West End-style show. And then also, if you're still perky, there's always late-night dancing at the Yacht Club.
Very nice. Now, you've been to a number of ports of call. Let's talk about the highlights of the ports of call now.
So right now, we're sailing into Ketchikan, so I haven't experienced it yet. But doing some research, Ketchikan is known for three things. Native Alaskan, Tlingit, totem poles, Misty Fjords National Monument, and the city's distinct as being the salmon capital of the world. The town has more standing totem poles than anywhere else in the state. And you can see them at different places like Sauk Native Village and the Totem Heritage Center. And then you can access Misty Fjords by kayak, floatplane, and scenic cruise, which is part of the excursion offerings, as well as fishing excursion, which are plentiful here. And so this is also where folks go to see the Great Alaskan Lumberjack Show with athletes. They're wielding like axes and saws in a tradition of lumbering activities. And it's also jumping off point for the Bering Sea Crab Fish Tour. Now we have been to Juneau, and it's a fun place. We stayed there the longest. We didn't set sail till 8:30 at night. It's pretty interesting. It's the Alaska capital city. There's no roads that lead from here to the rest of the state. And you can only get here by boat or small planes. So it's a for a view of the city and the cruise port, go on the it's a tramway, Mount Roberts. It's really good to see a great view of the place. And also, this is a great place to go for wildlife viewing, like whales, bears, and visit dog camps and salmon bakes. They leave from, you can do that in Juneau as well. Now, we had an itinerary change that could happen right until departure and even during your cruise, where we were supposed to dock in Skagway, but we didn't. So we docked in Hayes as well, and that was the jumping off point to go to Skagway and go on the White Pass Railway into the Yukon. And then first real day trip or port of call was Sitka, and it's got a lot of Russian heritage. It's also it sets it apart from other Alaskan ports on the cruise itinerary. So you're going to be able to see St. Michael's Orthodox Cathedral. It has an onion dome as well as the Russian Bishop House. And so before the Russians came, the Tlingit people settled here. So you can learn about their history and culture at the Sitka National Historic Park and Sheldon Jackson Museum of Native Art, Alaskan Art. And then if you like wildlife, you may want to visit the Alaska Raptor Center or go bear or bird watching. One of the things that we have done is we've gone through the Icy Strait Point. That was yesterday, and it's notable among Alaska cruise ports because the area and its attractions are all Native Alaskan owned. So most port and tour staff hail from Huna, which is Alaska's largest Tlingit village, and it's the port is set on an island which is known for its large bear population. And so if you have a good opportunity to search for whales and eagles, and if you're an adventure seeker, you might want to go on the zip rider with its course of 6 zip lines. So this is actually where we saw a few whales, one right outside our balcony, which is pretty exciting. My partner has eagle eyes, so he just yells at me, and I go running to see the action as it occurs. And then most Alaska itineraries include some scenic cruising, where your ship sails past really incredible natural sights. You rarely leave the ship during these sailbys unless you happen to be on a certain expedition, luxury, or small ships that offer the chance to get on board a skiff to get closer. But even then, you're still viewing these sights from the water. It's pretty amazing. Like, we've seen some gorgeous glaciers, and including Mendenhall Glacier, as well as Hubbard Bay, when we were doing the Hubbard Bay Glacier cruising, and the Glacier Bay. One of the things, when the glaciers move, it's like a crack, or like you really can hear it as the movement of the ice occurs.
Well, you're bringing back a lot of memories for me, because I did spend 2 seasons cruising up and down the coast to Alaska. And you're right, you can hear the crack of the glaciers and watch them. It's called calving, and as they crash into the water, it's really, really cool. Have you had a chance to take in a salmon bake yet?
Yes, it is. And I hope people will go on my Instagram page and see the gorgeous pictures. The food was incredible. And if you don't eat fish, they actually either have chicken as an alternative. We had ribs as an alternative protein. They had the most amazing baked beans and the cornbread that goes with it. So lots of salads. So if you just want to enjoy the ambiance of this, the salmon bake, you can. Lots of different choices for people who have different food preferences or allergies. It's really quite lovely. The people, one thing we are finding on the board, the crew is amazing, polite, gracious, very wanting to help you. And on land, the Alaskan people are lots of fun. They're great storytellers, and they are they welcome the visitor. And some ports can get really busy, like Juneau. They had like 4 huge ships in port, so it can be very busy destinations when you get there.
You're going to Ketchikan today. Is that the last port of call and you start sailing back?
No. So after Ketchikan, tomorrow is a at-sea day. And then our last port is actually Victoria. So I'm looking forward to that. Victoria is such a pretty, pretty city. I'm hoping to go to Bouchard Gardens. And just walking around is easy and nice to enjoy their port. And then we sail back into Vancouver.
Very nice. It all sounds so wonderful. Again, people can follow all your adventures on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook at Onanta Forbes. And I'm sure they can check out any more information on traveling on your website, onantaforbes.com. We will talk to you next week. You'll be back next week. So we'll talk to you and get a follow-up on next week's podcast.
Sounds good. Look forward to it. Have a great week.